3 beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man picking up a bottle of suds.
Sudscast. Well, if it isn't the Sudscast, Guelph's original beer tangential podcast, slinging beer reviews and attitudes since 2019. I'm the camp counselor of this podcast, DC Thompson, joined by the Pem to my Brook, the Cob to my Den, the Arm to my Prior, the Wren to my Frew.
Brett.
We got Brett over there looking super pleased with that. Brett, we're recording live, well, pre-recorded for everybody listening right now, from the rented cottage we have just outside of Renfrew, Ontario. And all those, do you know what all those names were, Britt, that I said?
Yeah, they're all the surrounding cities.
Yeah, so they're all like the kind of small communities, townships surrounding beautiful Renfrew. And what a lovely area we've got here, Britt, on the Ottawa Valley River.
It's just the Ottawa River.
It's the Ottawa River, but we're in the Ottawa Valley, am I right?
Maybe.
Well, our guests might know. Ooh, hold on. We're not going to introduce them yet. Britt, are the deets for the same for the podcast, even though we're not recording from the 5-8 studio just above Suds Brewery in Guelph, Ontario?
Yes, sudsbeercast@gmail.com or sudscast on Instagram. Suds_cast on Instagram.
She'll get it right one of these days, folks. Thank you, Britt. And well, look who the cast dragged in. Dear friends of ours and supporters of the pod, we got Devin and Emma Winson.
Good evening.
Our preferred name is Devma.
Devma Winson. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be one person now.
I mean, that could get confusing.
It could be. Yeah. So it's like, were you Devma or were you Devin there?
Yeah. Let's just go with Devin. Thanks so much for having us. It's a real privilege and an honor.
You're
being
welcome.
A longtime listener.
Oh, thank you. Emma, would you like to give any accolades to the podcast before we continue?
It's a prerequisite for being on. You have to say something good about us.
I think it would definitely be my go-to podcast on beer drinking. It teaches me how to drink beer, time of day, location.
Would you say it's your favorite beer tangential podcast?
I don't think I would have picked any other word.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you for allowing us to record this episode in our shared accommodation at the beautiful cottage, again, on the Ottawa Valley River. Wait, Ottawa River?
The Ottawa River.
I think it's just the Ottawa River.
You didn't
just
really
the Ottawa
give
River.
Us a choice.
It's the Ottawa River. Well, you guys would know because you're just outside of Ottawa, but we can get into that in a little bit later.
The Ottawa River passes through the Ottawa Valley.
Right.
I'll be correct on that. But.
Okay. So we got some clearance on that. Thank you again, guys. Appreciate you for having us, appreciating you for letting us record here again and bother you. I think this is going to be fun. Without further ado, Devin, Emma,
Devma,
Britt. Oh, Britt's got her finger on the trigger. Let's crack a brew. Emma, do you want to crack that can?
Whoa, foamy.
I just wanted to
we got a foamer.
Foamers. All right, ready?
Okay, ooh.
Just re-record that for those ASMR folks.
So this first beer we're having is Sunsetter Lemon Lime Beach Lager. Ooh. This is a 4% ABV lager from Whitewater Brewing Co. Whitewater Brewing Co. We picked these up at the brew pub in Cobden, but they also operate at a Forester Falls, Ontario. And you can pick up a can at the brewery for $3.25.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
That's it, $3.25.
$3.25, that's it. Really clear.
Very, yeah.
So the can media, if you want to have a look on your cans, states that it has, quote, subtle notes of lemon lime. How does it taste?
I like it.
I get the lemon and lime.
It's
yeah.
Lime.
You're picking up the lemon and the lime, Devin?
Yeah, I think so.
It's the corn. I can really pick that up.
Corn.
Is there corn in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a Mexican cerveza.
Oh, is that
right?
What they're going with?
I'm assuming. She said it's sort of like a Corona. Not that Corona has corn in it.
That's right.
Think,
the employee there at Whitewater Brewing Co. said it's kind of like a Corona. So I guess a Corona with a lemon wedge in there, lime wedge.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, actually. That reminds
so
that,
are you
that
guys,
resonates.
Are you guys familiar with Corona? Not the virus, the beer.
It's a favorite.
Yeah. Are you people who do you put the lemon and lime wedge in your Corona, or you just go like you bareback it, or what?
I like the lime in the neck.
So okay. Do you put it in, put your thumb in, tip it?
I do.
Yes, so some people have this move where they put the lime slice in the neck of the bottle, then they put their thumb on it, then they turn the bottle upside down. It's like rinsing the beer in the lime wedge.
It's ritual for me. I don't know if it does anything, but I like doing it.
Okay. I thought you were supposed to put the lime in it to block the flies from getting in, traditionally.
Ooh. Okay.
That makes sense.
It's not even supposed to go in it. You're just supposed to just, and they, like, limes are plenty.
Yeah.
So.
I hadn't heard of that.
I haven't heard of that either.
Are limes a fly retardant?
Of their body shape. It discriminates against their bodies.
That's true. You get that lime wedged up in that neck.
Yeah.
It's a physical barrier.
Fly's not getting in.
It's distracted by the lime.
So any other tasting notes, Britt? Now that you said that corn, I'm picking that up.
It's because it's a bit warmer.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm. These came from the brewery a couple of hours ago, and we put them in the fridge when we got home, but...
Full disclosure, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the beach branding, it resonates with me. It feels like something I'd have on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the canned media there, we can talk about that. There's like some people out on the water. It looks like a sunset.
Yeah, sunsetter. Canned media doesn't really give me beach vibes, but...
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I also noticed on the canned media, and I mean, I give them full marks a little bit for this. They write in the ingredients that it's lemon lime puree. So they're using a puree for their flavoring, but it's not like overpowering. It's not too much lemon lime. Sometimes with the puree, you can go like too heavy on it, but it's pretty subtle. So, Devin and Emma, first-time guests on the pod, everybody wants to know, what are your favorite types of beer to drink? Emma, let's start with you.
Only because you know the answer is quite narrow. I am just new to beer. I'd say I had a long or short life of pretending to like beer, you know, because everyone else did.
Right.
And then I got real with myself and I said, hey, I'm just going to drink what I like to drink. So, when it comes to something on tap, I reach for a cider. In recent years, I discovered sours, which has become a bit of a gateway beer for me.
Right.
So I've started to explore a bit. I always like to have a taste, but if I'm going to sit down with something, it's going to be a cider or a sour. That, to me, refreshing. Maybe throw some gin in there.
Hmm. Sour fan. Ooh, stay tuned for the next beer on the episode. Okay, Devin, favorite beer?
I've never heard that story about Emma. That resonates for me. I think I started off not really caring too much about beer. But I've come around, and I think my go-to, I don't know, an IPA maybe. I like something with a little bit of flavor.
Hmm.
If it's a hot summer day, I mean something a bit lighter maybe. But I also like the sours. I like ciders. Mm-hmm. One thing maybe I'm not as big a fan of are like the darker beers, the porters and stouts.
Stouts.
Yeah. Not there yet.
Yeah, we had a darker one. Devin and I had a sample of it at the brewery today, and it was like a bourbon barrel aged. It had like a lot of maple-y stuff going on there.
Syrupy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't so great on a hot day, because that sample got a little too warm, and then it was like, oh boy.
It got warm. I think that was part of the
problem. Yeah, this is just like drinking some warm maple syrup with some bourbon mixed in.
Drew definitely helped finish Devin's glass off.
Well,
I appreciate it.
We couldn't let it go to waste.
I thought, because it would have. Yeah.
We didn't want to be rude. We didn't want to be rude to the fine folk at Whitewater Brewing Co. in Cobden, Ontario, and also Forester Falls, Ontario, which is where their beer's made. So we were talking about the canned media a little while ago, and there's definitely like a sunset vibe. There's like a little bit of a canoe vibe pal going on here. Just quick, let's go around the table. Are you a sunset or are you a sunrise person? Devin?
I'm going to say sunset, only because usually I'm awake for a sunset. It's hard to catch a good sunrise.
Yeah, you have to be awake to see a sunrise. Good point.
Yeah.
Ooh, unless it's a sunrise after you've been up all night. I'm totally that person.
That's cool.
We'll get to your turn, Emma.
Okay. It's a good point. I mean, I'm into photography, so I like a sunrise. I like a sunset.
Have you ever pulled an all-nighter, Devin, just to go back to what Emma said?
It has been a while,
yeah.
Admittedly.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean...
The older you get, the less those guys are coming.
Does a crying baby count?
Yeah.
I think
so. Maybe if not you're as much. Up, you're up. Does it matter why?
Yeah. Right.
Doesn't matter why you're catching that sunrise.
That's right. Yeah. It still lands us sweet.
Okay, so Devin's a sunset guy.
Call me for sunset.
Okay, Britt. That's one for sunset. Britt?
I guess the same. Sunset.
Yeah. Same reasoning there?
Yeah. I mean, I could probably do without like another sunset photo.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit overplayed.
Just like, okay. Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's why the sunrise is so special, because you don't usually catch them.
Okay. Okay. But,
So the passive appreciation of a sunset, easy, done. It definitely takes more effort to go up for a sunrise. And I remember on the first vacation Dev and I took years ago, 13 years ago, where were we? We were in Mexico. It was just Mexico, Cabo, San Lucas. And I'd get him up because I'm like, let's hope go see sunrise. And then we'll get a good spot on the beach. And he's like, do we have to do this early?
Well, you do if you want a good spot on the beach, in all fairness.
Well, if you go to you pay less, then you, like, there's less seats. You kind of want to get your stuff down, right? And be that person. But, yeah. Those are good memories.
I remember that, yeah. You were sunrise obsessed. It was painful, but...
Good memories, yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go sunrise just to be a bit of a contrarian. Because, I mean, obviously you see more sunsets in your life, as you kind of pointed out, Devin. You have to be awake. Which is a valid argument. You have to be awake.
When was the last time you got up to watch the sunrise?
Well, the ironic thing is that a lot of times, as I get older, I'm finding I'm sleeping less and waking up earlier. So I'm actually up, but I never actually make it a point to go and see the sunrise. But you know what? It's also that pretentious thing of, like, you can go to someone, oh, did you see the sunrise this morning? And they go, no, obviously not. And you can be like, oh, lazy. You know, it's like, you lord it over people that you saw the sunrise.
That's a beautiful sunrise.
Does it count if you're watching the sunrise while you're playing video games?
Yeah.
Look at that sunrise.
That sunrise is reflecting in the TV screen of my video game playing. Quick, close the blinds, me.
Everyone else is so lazy. They didn't get up for this.
Everyone else is so lazy. They won't even get up and close the blinds to block the sunrise out.
What you don't see is every time they're talking, they're pretending to be holding invisible controllers.
Every time we're quoting ourselves.
He's still doing it.
We're still holding the controls. Britt, what controller would you say we're holding there?
I don't know. Super NES? I have no idea.
That's what I thought.
I was going to say, your hands were pretty wide. I was like, isn't
I've never used a toggle on a thing. Okay. I haven't played video games since Super NES.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it.
Can you name any other systems by other than
obviously,
Super NES?
Obviously, there's Nintendo Cube.
Close. I'll give you
Devin's shaking his head.
360?
Yeah, he's being nice.
It's legit. I mean, it's not the first one I would think of.
Nintendo GameCube.
So it's a nice name drop. Yeah.
The 360? Yeah. PlayStation?
You took my answer!
Point of order, I think that's an Xbox.
Yeah.
Xbox, Wii.
Now you're just naming. I don't know. Names.
Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. Now you're talking.
Legit.
Well, Devin and Emma, you guys used to live in Guelph, but now you live in the big... What's it called?
Apple.
The Big Apple?
The Big O? I don't know if we have a fruit.
The Big O, no.
It doesn't have its own thing? It's not like Hogtown?
Well, if you take a ride up the valley, you'd find us.
In the valley? Yeah, I don't know. Does Ottawa have kind of a name? I don't know if Ottawa's cool enough. Yeah, that might be cool.
I thought it had a name because I thought it used to be like a big deal. Like it was like bigger than Toronto back in the day, you know? So it had a name.
Maybe. Maybe we're just not in the know. Maybe we've lived in Ottawa for 8 years and we still don't know these things.
Okay, well, forget about your time in Ottawa. Meaningless for this podcast.
It's just 613.
Sure.
We're Guelph focused, so what we're going to do is ask you guys, what are your memories of Guelph? What was something you liked to do in Guelph
when
you lived there?
I'll start this one off because I grew up in Guelph.
Devin was born and raised and then left abruptly.
Technically, I was born in Halifax.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not do good guest research on this one, Brit.
Betrayal.
Wow, do you even know each other?
Yeah. Anyway, go on. Born in Halifax.
In all fairness, we lived there for 6 months before moving.
Right.
London and then Guelph. But most of my life in Guelph. Favorite memories? I mean, Guelph has changed so much as a city. I think a lot of just the memories that stick out involve, you know, school and friends and...
That salsa.
That salsa from Salsateria that we brought to the cottage.
Sundance?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what about other memories are there? Like, you know, not just the friends and the family, but institutions in Guelph that you visited frequently or remember.
I mean, I went to the University of Guelph. Okay. So, I mean, that's always a favorite when you go back. It's a beautiful campus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Griffin's.
What's the name of the bar on that campus? Is that the Brass?
Brass Monkey?
No.
Brass Shoe. Brass Tacks.
Brass.
Well, there was a couple.
Brass Cross.
The Brass Rail, the one in the University Center.
Yeah.
Is it still the same one?
I don't know.
Brass. I think it was so. Brass Taps.
I didn't go to the university.
Brass Taps. So. That's it. Brass Taps.
It was Brass Taps.
Brass Taps.
Kind of like the beer taps.
Beer Taps. I'm yeah. sure that's the reference.
There was.
That doesn't sound right.
No.
Did you go to U of G?
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when the Bull Ring was still there.
Okay.
And there was, I mean, it was a bunch of stuff, but there used to be, a bar in there. It turned into a bit of a club at times, and they shut that down.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there that
the bulls got
griffin?
Loose?
Is it a griffin or a bear? Or like
oh, the bear.
Is that bear?
The painted
I love
bear.
The bear.
That was always
the
iconic.
Makes me so happy.
Oh, they still dress up the bear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bear.
The bear
by the art gallery.
The bear's cool.
So
I think
it's a bear statue that's set up on the like a main road, and people randomly dress it up
in front of the art gallery, the McDonald art gallery.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. We should dress the bear
it's
next time.
It's actually called the art
gear.
Gallery
that's
of Guelph now.
They've changed the name.
Okay.
In addition, I think what the memory that goes back further for me was the cannon, because I would be on campus a lot as a kid. And
I'd inside of it.
And the cannon was always, I mean, it's been painted as long as I've. So the thing with the cannon, people would paint the cannon at night. You know, you had a res group, you'd paint the cannon, and it was yours for like 24 hours, and then it was fair game for someone else to go paint it the next night.
Nice.
And so it'd always be something new. And what I liked is when it got too thick, you know, they'd peel off. thick layers. Yeah, and so you could see all the different paint.
Wow.
And so that was cool. And so I like the can. And the can's still there. And I'm pretty sure they still paint it.
And isn't that the newspaper?
The
campus newspaper?
I don't know.
I thought it was the Guelph machete. Are you sure it's a can?
It was some sort of weapon.
Some kind
of I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, Emma, you didn't go to the U of G.
I did not.
Did you live in Guelph?
I never lived in Guelph.
Okay, so, but you visited Devon while you lived in Guelph.
Yeah,
but
the first year we dated, I was working at St. Mike's downtown Toronto, living on Adelaide Street West, sweet, sweet area, and we would take turns taking a Greyhound bus back and forth from Guelph to Toronto.
I knew he loved me because he'd pay $20 for parking overnight in Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah, under the Cineplex Odeon. No, so I would go into Guelph at all hours, because I'd come off night shift at 7:30 a.m., hop right onto a Greyhound, pop up, get to see him for a half hour before he went to work. But, like, that's love, baby. But I remember, yeah, I'd just land any hour in Guelph, and we just had a lot of time right downtown. You're living in the core, right?
Yeah, we were at the time.
What's that called again?
So what was, do you remember one of the first dates you went on in Guelph? Like, where did you go?
What did we do?
We were too broke from parking and Greyhound. Those discount
Devin
Greyhound.
Walked over, showed you them peeling the paint off the cannon.
That's always a favorite.
Actually, I'm really bummed. I don't think I've even seen this cannon.
No?
I thought you left.
Yikes. Moving on. Dates, you know what? I remember walks along the river because we lived right on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Aramosa River Trail. Aramosa,
past the river run.
Okay.
We did like some canoe. We were talking about this the other day when we were out kayaking.
Boathouse.
Yep.
Went to the boathouse, got some ice cream.
Ice cream, nice.
Canoes.
Yeah. I mean, downtown's not bad in terms of stuff to do.
What's your favorite type of ice cream to get when you go to an ice cream shop?
We had ice cream the other day, and it was from like a local shop. It was chocolate brownie.
Yeah, it was like chocolate with chocolate brownie chunks, it was legit.
So you're like chocolate people.
The brownie was really good. The chocolate was really good.
They make a really good cold brew one, though. That one's yummy. Because it still has, it's creamy, but that's more if you're vanilla-ish.
So that's like coffee.
I haven't had that. You know, that was a good one. But yeah, chocolate in general, I think, is my go-to.
Britt, what's your favorite ice cream go-to?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Ice cream cone?
Mm. Waffle.
Chocolate chip cookie dough?
Yeah, if they have cookie dough, I'll usually lean towards that.
What I'm getting at is that there's a difference between ice cream in a bowl and ice cream in a cone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's cone specific.
Still.
Okay.
Mm. Or maybe then cookies and cream and then maybe mint chip.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a mint chip guy.
What's your cone?
Waffle. If it's available, waffle.
I mean, I don't know if I'd pay an extra $2 for waffle, to be quite frank.
Because I just have no self-control. It's a waffle.
I love the taste of like that cheap ass just like the generic like the original cone. Yeah. I really love because it just takes on the flavor of whatever's dripping into it. And it kind of melts with the ice cream.
That cone definitely sops up the flavor, whereas the waffle cone, it's like it's so hard it doesn't take any of it on. But then the waffle cone has that crunch that's nice.
Yeah. Waffle's my go-to. For me, like, I don't know, I don't get ice cream a whole lot, so it's like, the extra
you'll splurge.
It's a ripoff, but it's just like, whatever, it's worth it.
I think, no, I'm talking a situation where, like, now, someone's giving you an ice cream cone for free, there's no price.
Now the Boathouse standard is waffle.
Yeah.
See, they're all waffle, unless you get kids or babies.
That's how they upsell you.
Because of my genetic disorder, I cannot appreciate the waffle. It's it's that sweet gene, remember? In my ancestry traits, I got that sweet gene, so everything tastes sweeter. So I have the waffle, and it's too much sugar. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I that's why the original, no sugar, just like...
Just the original cone.
Yeah.
I won't do a sugar cone. That's different than waffle.
Oh, yeah. But it has, like, the ingrained waffle, but it's, tinier.
It has a print like it's a waffle, but it's not waffle.
The sugar cone, to me, is, like, the traditional cone, but then it's made out of a waffle.
The sugar cone is, like, the bottom of a drumstick.
Yes.
That's a sugar cone.
No, I thought that's waffle.
No, that's a sugar cone.
Okay.
I love those, like, convenience store drumsticks that have the chocolate at the bottom of the cone. It saves you.
Yeah.
That last bite.
And you're like, chocolate. I thought all the goodness was gone. And then there's just like this bunch of chocolate.
It's a plug for the melt.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a melt plug. It's like it stops it from dribbling down.
I wish more things in life had that. I don't know what, but I wish more.
Yeah.
Had like a little chocolatey surprise at the end.
Well, you know what? The thing is, you eat, there's very few cone-shaped items to eat. So it really is only applicable for this one issue.
What about at the end of a burrito?
Burrito,
not cone shaped.
But the last bite. The end.
Also, burritos often wrapped in like foil or something.
They'd have to tell you what end to start with.
Yeah, but what if it had like a slab of cheese at the end that held everything together?
That's what I'm thinking. A little queso with the cheese.
Unmelted. Just stop.
Don't air this. This is really good material.
I think you're losing everybody.
Oh, we're leaving all this in. Well,
editing's too much work.
I think we're at the end of our samples. Everyone seems to be finishing up theirs. Britt, I think it's time we give a review. We're going to do a bit of a traditional episode. We got a beer in the front. We're going to do a break. We're going to do a beer on the end. It's time for our review of Sunsetter Lemon Lime Beach Lager from Whitewater Brewing Co. Britt, is it a thrill, will, or swill?
Will plus.
Ooh, will plus.
Yeah.
Do you want to give any justification? Or?
It's good. I like it. I don't know. Is it a thrill? It's nothing new.
No.
I mean, everyone's doing these, like, Mexican cervezas right now, so it's nothing new.
That's true.
But it's good. I mean, it was kind of the perfect beer on, like, a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
so it's, like, serviceable, I think is what you would maybe say.
Mm-hmm.
So Will Plus.
Will Plus?
Would you squeeze a lime into it?
No, because the lime makes it flat.
Does it?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, there's some kind of reaction with the acidity in the lime that takes the carbonation away. We found.
Same with pop, but people do it anyway.
Yeah. Okay,
Devin, I don't know, maybe.
Sunsetter Lemon Lime Beach Lager, thrill, will, or swill?
I'm going to go with Brit. That it's a will plus. I liked it. It was something, I hadn't had the flavor profile in a while, so I think it was just a little new, so that was fine. Benefits from that.
Right.
It was good, but like nothing. The name's interesting. They call it a beach lager. The wrap's very cottagey themed. I don't see the beach.
Yeah. It looks to me more like, we're on like a portage.
Well, it looks like what we can see out of the window right now. Like, actually, I think also, this tree is over there.
It's beautiful. It's just maybe not, doesn't invoke a beach. But the flavor does.
That leaning tree, that to me, do you see those in this area?
No. Like Yeah.
Because that to me screams Muskoka.
I've seen some.
Like, that's a symbol, like, on, like, a lot of beers made from that area or to reminisce of that area. That's, like, the tree they use.
Look, there's that those three rocks. It's just, like, the three rocks out there. This is totally from our view. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Emma, you seem to be ready to give your review. Thrill, will, or swill?
Thrillish, because it's light. It helps, like, for me as a occasional drinker, taster of beer, I enjoyed it. I think, like what you were saying, on a hot day with or without tacos or nachos, Even oh, just yeah, some nachos and dip.
Oh, or like some
yesterday.
Or some ceviche. Oh. With like those thick cut nacho chips, like that place we went to in Nicaragua, remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. Okay. I was in school.
That's high praise for Emma. So
Emma's going
That's high praise.
That's high praise for Emma.
High praise, high praise.
Drew, thrill, will, or swill?
I'm going to go will. I'm not going to go on the plus. I think you guys covered most of the pluses. I got some not so great things to say, but I think it's, as you said, serviceable. The 4% ABV is what makes this
beer. Yeah, that's good.
But
I like that.
I definitely am now rethinking why it's a beach lager, because as Devin pointed out and we sort of talked about, the can media does not insinuate a beach.
No.
Also, I think the concept of just saying, this is a beach lager, that's not a beer style. You're just putting an adjective in front of lager and going,
yeah,
hey, yeah, on the beach, huh?
Okay.
If you're on the beach, drink some of these. But then again, the can media does not sort of represent the beach. So it's just a will for me. The price is good, $3.25 a can, that's fine. And as I said, the ABV, it's a sessionable beer. I think they would do better by just saying session lager. Like lemon lime session lager instead of beach lager. To me, that's just sort of confusing things. It's like you're trying to suggest to people where to drink this, but then it also the can media is not really representative of the game. And not a huge fan of the puree, but I think the lemon lime is subtle enough that you wouldn't really notice.
Subtle.
Of course, then again, I was up early this morning taking in the sunrise. So,
okay.
We're going to take a quick
break.
From
your bed with the windows closed.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with our second beer. It's also from Whitewater Brewing Co., but it's going to be a little bit different. So, everyone, you're going to want to stay tuned. Hit pause, go take a washroom break, go get a snack, go take your dog for a walk, but then listen to us while you're walking around. This is the Sudscast.
Woo!
Sudscast. And here we go. We're back. We've got Devma, Devin, and Emma Winson joining us from the communal cottage. We're recording in the Ottawa Valley, right on the Ottawa River. And guys, it's beer number two. Oh, we got a slightly different beer for you from Whitewater Brewing Co. in Foresters Falls, Ontario. This is Low-Hanging Fruit Pomegranate Blackcurrant Sour. Ooh. Britt, can you crack that can for me, please?
I've been waiting.
Devin, crack that can.
Oh, again.
Got a little blowback.
Oh, again.
You had a lot of foaming going
back.
On. I think, you know what it was? It's because the
Give
beers...
Give me a napkin.
The beers kind of got warm and then they got cold again. There's no time for napkins.
I so, think Britt got the
low-hanging fruit... Low-hanging fruit, pomegranate, blackcurrant, sour...
Oh, my goodness. This
is
a...
4.8% ABV.
This one's a handful.
Whitewater Brewing Co., of course, in Cobden, Ontario, or Forester Falls, Ontario, not sure. And this can retails for $3.45 at the brewery. And I think you can get this one in... Can you get this one in the LCBO?
Too late now.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
I didn't see it in the
LCBO. I always pick through the sours. I have not appreciated this one by Whitewater.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers. I don't know if we cheers on the last round.
You know, we did. I drank it, but mine's all foam. Thanks, Brittany.
You took that one. I don't know why. I had it.
It was my cup. It was my cup. You took it.
Ooh, that's tart. Wow.
It's really tart.
Brit, tart
Very
scale.
Tart. I'm kind of surprised it's so clear. I thought maybe there'd be a hint of color.
Like yeah, it's pink. Sort of strange, given also given the fruit additions. But
well, pomegranate juice is like very dark.
And black currant.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. As we stated in the first beer, the Sunsetter Lemon Lime Beach Lager, they use purees in this.
Still, but if you drink pomegranate juice or puree, you'd think it'd be dark. Yeah. It's not going to be clear.
Do you think the coloring's often artificial or natural?
I think in some cases they're natural, but it depends.
Black currant's quite stainy.
That's the thing with black currant that would make me think the beer should be a little bit darker than what it is. Also, pomegranate is quite red.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been saying.
This looks like a light amber, would you say?
I wouldn't even call it a light amber. I would say it's like golden colored.
Yeah.
But Devin, getting back to your point, I've found in my experience the more latent with extract, fruit extracts or flavoring extracts, the more likely the beer is to be over-colored in that direction. when they're using real fruit, I find the beer doesn't take on as much color. So maybe this is a good thing in one sense.
Well, it's kind of like wine, maybe. Mm. Like, if you don't have the skins.
Or you don't let it soak as much. Like, you don't let it ferment as much with
the... It's not on them as long. Mm-hmm. That's possible. Maybe. This, to quote the can, this sour is ripe for the picking. How does it taste, guys? What do you think?
It's tart.
It's very tart. But what about the fruit?
Not ripe. Not yet ripe. They picked it too soon.
I couldn't tell you what a pomegranate or a blackcurrant tasted like, but I don't remember pomegranates being this tart.
I'm picking or up the blackcurrant. I'm picking up pomegranate for sure.
Barely.
Emma, I mean, you're more of a sour person. Would you say this is more sour than usual? It tastes kind of in the norm for me.
Yeah, norm, but it is more sour. I taste the pom-pom. I do not pick up any blackcurrant in this at all.
Interesting. It's tough. I think if you smell it, you get that jam sort of scent.
Yeah, it's like smells black like currant. Jam.
That's where the black currant, I think, comes through.
I could go for a good jam.
Because the pomegranate, I'm finding I'm picking up on the taste, but the black currant, I'm not. But, you know, again, some of these things are so subtle, it's really, really difficult.
Low-hanging fruit. Is pomegranate a low-hanging fruit? Because currant is like a bush.
Currant is like a bush. It grows like, it's like a berry, basically. I don't know what a pomegranate grows on.
I would say even still, a low-hanging fruit, isn't it that sort of thing that you don't want to be the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, it depends how they meant the term. That's right.
I think it's more like, oh, well, that was low-hanging fruit. And like, yeah, that was easy. That was an easy answer, or that was an easy insult or something. Like the obvious.
Right.
I have like a very opposite thought here. I just remember an old pal of mine years ago telling me he knew he was getting old when he sat on a toilet and his balls touched the water. Wow. That's all I thought about when I read this label.
Low-hanging fruit.
Like that was his low-hanging fruit?
That was his low-hanging fruit. I don't know. I thought of that story when I looked at this can.
I don't know about the fruit comparison, but... Certainly seems low hanging.
Your plums. My plums. Ma, my plums are wet.
One day, gentlemen, one day.
Sorry, in that scenario, was he calling for his mom? Because his balls were in the water?
You know, hey, Ma. It's his wife.
Hey, Ma, bring my crotch towel. Again.
My fruit basket.
Well, we're going to get back to low-hanging fruit, pomegranate, blackcurrant, sour from Whitewater Brewing Co. in a second. But in the meantime, we're up here in this nice cottage. We've camped together before a few years ago. So, hey, why don't we just regale everyone listening out there with some fun camps or cottage stories from our youth? I'll go first.
Of course.
My family used to rent a cottage every summer for a couple of weeks. And one time I remember being in the water. It was particularly wavy around, I think it was Sauble Beach. And for some reason I decided I'm going to take my bathing suit off, my bathing suit bottoms off. I didn't have a shirt on.
You were obviously old enough to remember. So what, you were like 12?
Yeah, I was probably like 12 or 11. And I took it off, and then a big wave came, and I, like, lost it. And then I was kind of like, oh, shoot, where's my bathing suit? And I was just reaching around. And when it's wavy like that, you can't see anything because the sand's just constantly getting disturbed. And I was reaching around for, like, 30 seconds, and I found my bathing suit. And I was just like, I'm thinking about that now as an adult. And it was like, A, why did I do that? B, how did I possibly find my bathing suit in that? Like, what are the circumstances in which... some idiot 11-year-old takes his bathing suit off in the water, loses it, and then finds it all in the span of, like, a couple of minutes. Anyway.
Fortuitous. Britt,
do you have anything you want to share? Cottage, fun, funny cottage stories, camping stories? Doesn't even have to be that old. You could have been in high school.
Yesterday.
Yeah, what happened on this cottage trip that was funny?
I don't know. I mean... I mean, some people have maybe heard this story before.
Okay, well, tell it again, because so that's what podcasting is about.
My family,
the same stories over and over.
My family had a college.
You must be rich. Oh, wow.
That's why you were a valedictorian that one year.
My family had a cottage in Parry Sound. And so there's this boat, the Island Princess, that would go around.
Right.
Every day at like 11, so you could see her from the cottage. So one year... we finally had tickets to go.
Right.
I can't remember how old I was, but like six.
Were you like losing your bathing suit in the water sort of age? No. Okay.
So we're like getting ready to go, and my younger brother is like running up the path. And to get down to the water, there were two paths. One that was a little bit more grown in, and one that was like a bit more of the used. I think he decided to use the like more grown in one.
Right.
Ryan fell, got a stick shoved up his hand. And my parents are like, well, we're still going on this cruise thing. Wrapped it in like a Donald Duck sheet, went on the cruise. Oh, great, lovely. Then after, my parents are like, oh, I guess we should go to the hospital. So he went to the hospital, and then my dad was like, oh, we should probably buy him a toy.
Right.
And I was pretty pissed off.
Well, you're going to need to replace that Donald Duck sheet.
I was really mad that I had to go pick out toys for him, and I didn't get anything.
Nice.
Classic Brit.
Devin and Emma, any fun stories? Camping?
I mean, lots of memories. Wasaga Beach, renting cottages in Wasaga Beach as a kid, or Collingwood. Still remember that beach? I haven't really been recently, but, you know, as a kid, you're not fazed by maybe some of the tackiness of the area. So it was good fun out of Guelph. Camping was never, like, totally my jam. The best times I had camping, and that's probably just because I was going with my parents. The best memories of camping are obviously just with old friends.
Right.
My uncle had a cottage, lots of memories of tubing.
Oh, yeah. Like, on the back of a boat?
Back of a boat, getting pulled along.
Your bathing suit ever, bottoms ever come off after you flew off that, and then you found them?
I mean, yes. Because, like, when you're ripping on the lake and you fly off,
yeah.
The force is often enough to rip off your
trunks. And you forgot to do up that little drawstring at the top.
Probably, I was a kid. I wasn't
paying attention. You were rushing, you didn't have time to do up the drawstring.
So I have lost my trunks.
Right.
Tubing.
My trunks.
My trunks.
Ma, you need help with my trunks again.
Good time. But yeah, what else? What else? Have we been camping recently?
Emma, do you have any?
With you guys.
Yeah, we did camping with you guys. All I can remember is just, at the end of the night when the outhouse seems further and further away.
Yeah.
I think like every time I went to go pee, I just gave up on using the outhouse and I just come closer and closer to campsite to the point where it's just like, fine, I'll hang my ass out of the tent and pee. That's all I can think of. But there's one story with Devin and I so his uncle has a cottage in Muskoka. It's a trek from Ottawa. It's not a convenient cottage stop, but it's a beautiful bitch. 5-ish hours. We were driving, we were on our way to drive home, and a few minutes into the ride, Devin realized he couldn't turn his neck. He was like trying to check his blind spot, but his neck was so stiff he couldn't turn it.
Meningitis?
It's not meningitis.
What is it when you can't turn your neck?
Did he wrench it from falling off that tube?
Seriously, yeah. Looking for his box. Can't turn your neck? It can be.
That's
but,
how my head went immediately.
Like, well, wow, unlikely. So we pull over, we get some muscle relaxants. I'm like, well, you took the muscle relaxants, you're going to pass out. So I guess I'm driving the whole way home. And he's like, I just don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I'm like, how do you not know what happened? You're almost 6'3". We're sleeping in a double bed at most that has like not just the head, but the foot. Mm. So, and it's like a nice, like beautiful rustic log bed. But the way Devin was sleeping, it was a bunk bed. Nonetheless, you can't even sit up on it. But he was sleeping, like, all his body sleeping, like, head to foot. But to make his head fit, he'd just crank his neck sideways. So his ears touching his shoulder, and he'd just sleep like that. Because he couldn't go diagonal onto me.
Just suffering through.
Yeah. So it's like, this is why you can't turn. So anyways, I had to drive the whole way home. He kept saying he was sorry until he actually fell asleep from the muscle relaxants.
And my neck felt fine, thanks.
Yeah.
It wasn't meningitis. That's the good news.
That's the best news of the whole story. Well, those were some traumatic stories. Mostly the one about the frogs. And my bathing shorts falling off in the waves. Britt, we got a little game to play.
Okay.
As always, we like to play a little game when we have guests on in the second beer. Everyone's a little bit looser. We're drinking our low-hanging fruit, pomegranate blackcurrant sour from Whitewater Brewing Co. This is a game I call, we call, one of these gots to go.
Like, so, one of us?
No. Yeah.
Are you kicking one of us out?
Yeah, and it's you.
Oh.
Get out of here.
I already talked.
Okay, so, one of these gots to go. Pretty straightforward. I'm going to give you three different things, and you have to decide which one of these are you going to live without? Are you going to jettison out into the atmosphere, never to be heard or seen from again, and you will survive off of only having the remaining two? Y'all good?
Yep.
Okay, so, one of these gots to go, campfire, beach, or dock?
Dock.
Okay, well, Britt, what one of these gots to go?
Dock.
Dock.
Okay. Are you going to give any explanation?
Well, like, well, okay, this cottage that we're at now doesn't have a dock. We're fine.
We're fine.
Well, that was... the listeners can't see the cottage we're at now, so if you could kind of give more of an elaboration,
a dock isn't specific to our cottage. In my opinion, a dock isn't necessarily a necessity. Mm-hmm. If you have a big deck, you don't really need a dock.
Okay. So you're saying dock is a no-go.
Yeah.
What if you have a motorboat?
Well, then that's your problem.
Okay, so if you're super into motorboats, you're kind of SOL.
Well, then if it was your own cottage and you had a motorboat, you'd build a dock.
But it's not your own cottage. It's a fictional cottage.
Right, so that's why I'm saying dock can go. I don't have a motorboat.
Okay.
And at these gas prices, I don't foresee myself buying one unless they make plug-ins.
I thought your family was rich.
They own that college, I thought.
The college got canceled.
Okay, Emma, campfire, beach, or dock?
Dock?
Same reasons as Britt?
Yeah.
Not a boat person.
Well, there's no boat. Are we, like, I think we need to make this...
You need to have a dock to have a boat.
Do you need a boat to have a dock?
You need the boat, and then you decide to build the dock. You don't need a dock first.
I think you can use a dock without having a boat.
Yeah, I know, but you don't need it if you don't have a boat.
If the listeners can't know what we actually have, it should be something like, what would you give up? Your yacht?
We have other ones. Okay, so Emma's in dock. Devin, campfire, beach, or dock?
I mean, I like all of them.
Right.
We're talking about in the context of a cottage.
You can be less diplomatic in your answer.
I'm going to go with beach.
Okay.
Because I like the fire.
You don't want to give up the fire.
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in that fire. Just
right.
But... I like the dock. I like boats.
Somewhere to park your Ferrari boat.
So you're going
to
give up the beach.
That's right. The Lamborghini boat. Whatever boat you have, I think you need a dock. And I like being on a boat. So I'm going to go with beach.
Here's the thing. I think I'm going to be right there with you. I'll give up the beach because you know what's great about a dock? It's flat. You can just make it flat. You don't have to worry about different elevations and the tides are coming up. They're coming down. Yeah. Your dock, it's like it's an island unto itself.
It's functional as well.
Yeah,
it's not just for mooring, it's for having chairs on it.
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't need a boat, but it's like I have a perfectly flat area to put my chair on and dive off of. You can't dive from a beach into the water. That's not going to help you.
And, you could. It would be
Who doesn't like a campfire? You got to keep a campfire.
Yeah, I think, you got to keep the campfire. You can drive to a beach if you really want on a beach.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're kind of split along gender lines here.
Interesting.
Okay. Men want the dock, women want the beach. Okay.
Next.
So we got the second, sunscreen, bug spray, or water?
I got my answer. It's easy.
Like potable water?
Yeah, like water to drink.
Bug spray.
Okay, so you're doing away with bug spray.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how hot and humid it is. Bugs, not a big deal. Remember that bug bite on your foot from a couple days ago you won't stop talking about?
Yeah, but there's no way you would survive without sunscreen. Also, you don't want the cancer.
Right.
Big deal, you get a mosquito bite. They're annoying, but you're not going to, like, die 20 years later.
Okay.
Sunscreen's a must-have. Water,
deep.
When you say water, I don't know if you mean drinking water or, like, lake water.
I mean drinking water.
Potable.
Okay, well, you need water. So bug spray, because you could also go inside the cottage, go in your tent, if you really had to get away from the bugs.
Okay, Emma, sunscreen, bug spray, water. Which one of these gots to go?
Considering Brittany is the smartest fake blonde I know, I'd have to agree with her.
Thank you.
I would absolutely say, what did we say again?
Bug spray.
Bug spray. Yeah, I can cope.
Drew.
Oh, I'm going to go?
Yeah.
I'm going to do away with the sunscreen because I like a tan and the bugs really bother me. Also, if you hydrate enough, the sun might not harm you as bad.
That is not true.
Well, you can just go stand in the shade, drink some water,
You tell the dermatologist association. Here's the problem.
I'm kind of like screwed. If I get rid of the water, I'm dehydrated. If I get rid of the bugs, they attack me. If I get rid of the sunscreen, I'm dehydrated.
But let's be honest, bug spray really doesn't even work half the time.
It works for me. As someone who gets attacked by bugs pretty bad, it works.
Okay.
Trust me. So I'm going to get rid of the sunscreen. Devin, sunscreen, bug spray, water.
I think good arguments put forward on both sides. Water, agreed. We got to keep the water.
Well, this was the problem I had, is that bug spray and sunscreen are so, like, ubiquitous with camping and cottaging, but then what's a third item? And it's like, you have to make it something that's worthwhile. Matches. No, might, not matches.
It might depend where you're at. Like, if you're camping, often you're in the forest. The bugs are more of a problem than the sun.
Yeah.
You know, often the sun's being filtered out through the trees. I'm with Drew. Not a fan of the bugs. But, you know, where we're at here, where the bugs are pretty minimal except at night. You know, a lot of beating down sun, tricky. So, depend on the context, but I'm going to go with sunscreen as well, because I also like a tan, and I play it loose with my skin health.
Fast and loose.
Ouch. Okay. All right. We got another one. I know who's collecting the, what is health insurance, the deductible on our life insurance.
We got enough for one more. Ooh, this one's tricky. S'mores? Spidey dogs or marshmallows? Which one of these got to go?
Well, I'm not going to go first again. Okay. I've gone first, even though I have my answer.
Devin, you go first.
Spidey dogs?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've heard of those.
Spidey dogs is when you take a hot dog and you sort of cut it so that, it kind of creates like legs that span out in a fire if you put it on a roasting stick.
Okay.
I'll show you later.
That sounds great, actually. You know what? So, the s'mores has the marshmallow.
Right.
So, I'd go with the s'more because it's like all the flavors. It's the chocolate, it's the graham, it's the marshmallow.
That's right.
I like that. Never had the Spidey Dog, so I obviously don't know what I'm missing there. And the marshmallow, I guess it's a bit of a cheat because you get it in the s'more.
Yeah.
It's a cheat, but you don't... it's a cheat, but slightly different.
So, I'm going to go with... Well, wait. No, I want to keep the s'more, so I'm going to go with Spidey Dogs.
Okay. You're getting rid of Spidey Dogs.
But okay, so let me just say as a qualifier, if you get rid of marshmallow, that doesn't mean your s'more is just graham cracker and chocolate. You would still get the marshmallow in the s'more.
Marshmallow makes more sense then, because then you get the sweet savory with the Spidey Dog.
Okay, so you're getting rid of marshmallow.
What kind of cookie? Wait. What kind of cookie are we using on the s'more?
It doesn't matter. It could be anything.
Hopefully it's
anything your heart desires.
Okay, Britt.
Well, at first I was going to say get rid of the Spidey Dog.
And then what happened?
But then I realized, again, as you pointed out, your s'more has a marshmallow. So if you really want a marshmallow, you're getting it. So then get rid of this marshmallow.
Okay, but in this scenario...
Why keep two of the same thing?
Yeah, but in this scenario, it's not like you can deconstruct the s'more if you just want the marshmallow.
Yeah, but...
It's like it's already made. It's essentially a sandwich.
I can't remember the last time I ate just a marshmallow.
What about if you need to make ghost gum?
I haven't done that in a long time because everyone makes fun of me and then my hands are sticky and we're camping and I have nowhere to clean them. Okay. So we're getting rid of
ghost
the marshmallow.
Gum? What's ghost gum?
Brit?
You take a marshmallow in your hands.
Well, after it's been cooked in the fire.
No, before.
Before.
Ghost gum's before.
Oh, that's... Okay.
You take a raw marshmallow in between your fingers, your index and your thumb, and you just like knead it.
Like pinch, pull it
apart and it turns into like what you know as like fluff. You know how you buy fluff in a can?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Fluff, yeah.
Love my fluff.
Yeah, so after you're done just totally manhandling that piece of marshmallow with your disgusting camping and cottaging fingers, you put it in your mouth.
Right.
And chew on it and pretend it's a good idea to do that. Okay, Emma, s'mores, marshmallows, Spidey Dogs, which one of these got to go?
Spidey out.
Oh, wow.
What? But you're the savory person.
I am. It's surprising, but I'm a purist when it comes to my marshmallows. Did you not notice that the other night? I didn't even make a single s'more. I just did the marshmallow.
Yeah, you were just raw dogging the cooked marshmallows.
What?
Yeah, it just means you were not s'moring them.
Okay. Raw dogging sounds like I did something very vile. No, but I love roasting, peeling off like the roasted part, eating that crispiness, and then like re-roasting and just seeing how many rounds of mallow
just
crisp
like,
I can get.
How long you can torture that marshmallow.
Yeah, but you have to be careful because you left like that. What are those like pokers called? Spats, boots?
Camping fork?
I think they call them stick.
The stick, sure. You left in the fire and then if you put the marshmallow on too soon, it just kind of like melts through and, it keeps going. And you're just like, you're not staying in the position I need you to be in.
I think we put them in the fire to burn off all the excess marshmallow. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, if it's too hot on the end, then it'll just, the marshmallow will slide down.
And then you rotate it and it doesn't rotate. It's just the same side that keeps getting roasted.
That's right.
My process doesn't work in those conditions.
Well, I'm going to go with my man Dev of Devma over here, and I'm going to say those marshmallows got to go. I mean, just eating a plain marshmallow.
That's what I said too.
And Britt said it also. That's just like kid stuff, you know? Like the s'more, that's the adult marshmallow campfire treat. And Spidey dogs are great. You get to use a knife. Nothing more adult than that. You also can rip off the individual legs of the Spidey dog and eat those. Like, it's like a little snack.
That's horrific.
Yeah. It's tough talk from someone who keeps scorching layers of marshmallow and peeling them away.
At least I don't need them with my pee hands, okay?
I said in years and I got rid of the marshmallow.
Well, that was one of these guts to go. I have one more. We can do a rapid fire. You're only allowed to say one thing. No explanation. We'll go around the horn. Mimosa, coffee, Bailey's.
Bailey's.
Mimosa, coffee, Bailey's.
Bailey's.
I'm the same.
Drew?
I'm going to go, well, I guess you have to get rid of the Bailey's, because if you get rid of coffee, what are you going to do with just Bailey's?
Mimosa, coffee, beer.
Oh, well, that's definitely going to be... that's a tough one.
Coffee, you don't drink it.
It's probably going to be coffee, because I don't drink it, but occasionally I will. And then a mimosa, you don't have that often, so it's sort of like, well, do I care if I don't have another mimosa? I don't know. Okay, well, that was one of these gots to go. We've come to the end of the second beer. Oh, we're nearing the 1 hour mark of the podcast. It's time to give a review of low-hanging fruit, pomegranate and blackcurrant sour from Whitewater Brewing Co. Devin, is it a thrill, will, or swill?
Thrill minus. Is that
thrill minus.
That's pretty high. Yeah.
You know what? I think the sours are growing on me. Mm-hmm. I like a sour. Maybe I was just in the mood for one right now. Just a point. It does say locally sourced on the can, and I wonder, like, do we grow pomegranates?
Definitely not.
I don't think we do.
Have you not been to the pomegranate orchard?
Right. Well, I wonder, maybe
it's in Niagara.
The black currant, definitely.
Currant, sure. Maybe it's in a greenhouse. Anyway.
Yeah, it could be, I suppose.
Okay, so Will minus from Dev. Let's just go around the horn again. Britt, thrill, Will, or swill?
Will minus.
Wow, okay.
I mean, it's tart, but there's like no flavor. Like, you could have had this and labeled it like raspberry, blueberry, and it probably would have tasted the same.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I don't like these fruited sours if you can't taste the fruit. Mm-hmm. So maybe if they had done like more of a lactose set with the lactose, maybe.
Yeah. Mm.
I do like that it's tart. Like, you're not sugared out from it.
It's not sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Emma, throw will or swill. You're kind of getting into it.
Will. But I will say, at the beginning of the podcast, Britt asked what I'm drinking tonight, and I actually cheated. I took the low-hanging fruit, and my instant thought was, whew, sour. So I did my classic Emma move, and I added some of... I by the way, I hope you don't mind. I took some of your gin.
Oh, my God. That bottle's going to be empty, and I didn't have one.
I added some of Britt's blueberry gin. And some peach schnapps for some sweetness and ice, and damn, that makes it thrilly for me.
Interesting. Drew, thrill, will, swill.
I'm gonna go will plus, actually, which I'm surprised by, because I'm not a big souring fan. But you know what? I think that this one does a good job. I think that adding a lactose sprit that you were talking about, it's kind of overdone. I like the fact that it was just it was very sour, and like it was meant to be. I don't eat pomegranates often, but when I have eaten them in the past, this is kind of bringing back a bit of a memory of that, because I found they have been like fairly tart when I've had them. The blackcurrant is a little bit lost. As I said, I think you can get it in the aroma of the beer. 4.8% alcohol. I think that's pretty good. The price isn't horrible. It's a will plus for me. I probably wouldn't have it again, but you know, if somebody offered to me in a glass on a hot, hot summer day, I'd be like, oh yeah, give me one of those for sure. So will plus for me. That was pretty interesting. We kind of went around the board a little bit. No swills this episode.
Not yet.
Well, Devin and Emma, thank you so much, as we said, for sharing the cottage with us and the Suds baby for this week, and also for letting us record and for taking part in the recording.
Thank you, guys. It was a blast.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Nothing less than an honor to be invited on Sudscast.
It was a thrill plus experience for me. Wow.
I was waiting for someone to say thrill.
I need to go onto Instagram and comment on this podcast.
Please do. That reminds me, for everybody listening, it's suds_cast on Instagram, and send us an email if you want, sudsbeercast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And well, Britt, I think it's time for us to clink some glass.
Cheers.
And say alas.
Because now it's time
to end the cast.
Thanks for listening.